Good morning and welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. This is a special edition of Minnesota Military Radio, the one time a year that the iHeartMedia allows us to take over the K-Talk studio, and we get to spend the next 3 hours with you today and have a series of different guests on throughout the hour. We'll talk about Memorial Day and honor those who have served. I want to let you know that this special Memorial Day broadcast of Minnesota Military Radio is brought to you in part by the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and Federal Premium Ammunition. And so my name is Doug Wortham, your regular host of Minnesota Military Radio, and I am sitting here in the studio with the great pleasure and honor to have our founding host with us. Tom Lyons is here. And Tom, we were talking before we started here this morning that this is year number 15 doing this Memorial Day broadcast, and you've done, well, all 15 of them.
Good morning, Doug, and that's true. What an honor to be here 15 years in a row, get up at zero dark 4:30 or whatever we called that in the military. It reminds me of going to basic training, but then get in here and get on the air and help people in Minnesota to remember those who died in service to our country. And we have some great guests on for each hour, and it's just I'm happy and thrilled that you invited me to sit in for the 15th year. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate you being here, and Tom put me in what we call the hot seat here, and Tom's looking across the studio at me and giving me the direction and the guidance, and we just appreciate him being here. So like Tom had mentioned, like I previously mentioned, we've got 3 hours together. We're going to have a series of guests, and the first hour we get the pleasure of having the Minnesota National Guard's command chaplain, state chaplain here. His name is Chaplain Lieutenant Colonel Timothy Ussett. And Chaplain, now we've had Buddy Wynn in here for many, many years. For those of their good friends of Buddy Wynn, he recently retired, entered the retirement life, and you are here to pick up the mantle. So Chaplain Ussett, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be here today.
Well, we're glad to have you here. We always love to start our number one off with one of our chaplains, really set the tone for the day. And as Tom had mentioned, you know, really understand why we're here. Why is this day so special? And so before I get into kind of that message of, you know, why this day is so special, maybe we can just get to know you real quick.
Sure.
You know, you're not a stranger to Minnesota. You've been in Minnesota for quite a while. You started off in the Minnesota Guard. You left for a little while. You came back. But tell us a little bit about you and your history.
Yeah, so I joined the Minnesota Guard in 2006. I grew up in west of the Twin Cities in Buffalo, so I've lived here my entire life. And for me, joining the Guard and the Army Guard at the time was really informed by the memories of my grandfathers, one who served in the Pacific as a ball turret gunner in B-17s and B-24s, and another who served in Patton's Army in North Africa and into the boot of Italy. And I think now, as an adult looking back, at the time I really idealized them because I didn't know them very well. One died when I was 2 and one when I was 12. But one of them, thinking of the ways that we in the military process the loss and the difficult things that we see, Grandpa Bernie was a storyteller. And so he had all these stories about saving a cannibal chief's daughter, about getting... maybe just, we'll say, going and doing maybe wild things with service members that involve planes and maybe not landing them successfully. And as a child, I was awed by these stories. And now I really wonder what, knowing what I know about military stories, there was probably some truth to it. But how much, we'll never know. But on the flip side, my Grandpa John, he was really quiet. And I would hear about him going to the pool hall. And just hearing about the way that he processed the things that he did in the military really drove why I wanted to join and why I've served, I guess, most of the last 19 years. First Guard, a little 14-year stint in the reserves, which I should say is I'm not fully transferred yet, so we need to acknowledge that I am the incoming state chaplain. I don't want to get too far ahead of things, but it's really an honor to be returning to the Minnesota Guard and to be doing some of this work, caring for our service members closer to home.
Now, did you know that the chaplain corps was something you were going to go into? Was that a plan for a long time, or did it just kind of happen for you?
For me, as many will say Minnesotans, not all, I did grow up in a Lutheran church, and so faith was a part of my life very, very early on. So I did have a sense of wanting to serve in some form of ministry. And when I did join, I became a chaplain candidate at the end of 2008. So I enlisted without an MOS and then eventually got into the chaplain candidate program. So I would say it was pretty early on for me.
Yeah, no, Tom, I think we should set the record straight here in that military stories are a lot, there's a lot more truth in them than fishing stories. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Let's say that they're based in truth and they might be elaborated upon to suit the circumstances. Chaplain, on this day, a lot of civilians, a lot of people that haven't served, have they confuse it sometimes. Veterans Day is to honor those who have served, but Memorial Day is much more somber. It's much more important. Can you explain that for us, sir?
Yeah, well, I think when thinking about Memorial Day, there's the general awareness of maybe those that have died in service of the country. But for so many of us, either in uniform or in military families, those are very personal stories. And I think about my grandmother on my mother's side. Her first husband died shortly after D-Day in 1944. And so that would have my Uncle Mike never knew his father, because he died really before he was old enough to remember. And I know that loss is still incredibly painful for her today, and she actually turns 101 tomorrow. So for that, those stories and the ways that grief can carry on with us for, in this case, over 80 years, in her case, I think it's important to remember that. But in terms of the technicalities of Memorial Day, really thinking about it goes back to Decoration Day, the Grand Army of the Republic, which was a veterans organization for Union soldiers post-Civil War. And I believe it was Major General John Logan it's attributed with calling for the first observation of what was known as Dedication Day in 1868. It later on became Memorial Day as we know it now, and now is for us to remember service members in general that have died in service to our country, rather than, of course, its Civil War origins.
A few weeks ago, I had the pleasure of interviewing Rob Gross. He's a cemetery administrator at one of the Minnesota State Veterans Cemeteries. And we're talking about his reasons to serve and, you know, why he's there. And he said something to me that was, it really struck me. And he said that our veterans, because that's who he's serving inside of the State Veterans Cemetery, along with their dependents, right, if they're eligible to be buried there. He said that they have the opportunity to die twice. And of course, one in their physical death, but the second time of death is when we don't remember them anymore.
Yeah.
And that just really struck me of, you know, you really think about it. You know, when we stop having a day like this, Tom or Chaplain, you know, they die twice. Our veterans do.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's, you know, it really gets home.
For me, this is a day to remember, but for some reason, I always go back to D-Day and World War II, and of course, we've had on our Korean veterans on the show, and of course, my era, Vietnam veterans, we lost a lot, and we're losing them fast day by day, but you lost a lot of your fellow troops when you served as well.
Yeah, it wasn't I shouldn't say as bad, but, you know, we were lucky. However, we did have loss. And on my particular deployment, three of our soldiers were killed in action. And, you know, I think about those three every Memorial Day, of course, and throughout the year. And it's tough when you think about those that you served with, although I didn't know these soldiers directly, we had that tie, that common bond of brothers and sisters in arms. And, you know, Chaplain, that's something tough for many of our people, I think, to deal with, right? Maybe some of this remorse when they come back, you know. So how do you deal with, or how do you tell someone to handle that grief, someone that lost someone in service?
Yeah, well, I think that you were saying a moment ago, how about we can potentially die twice? But I think in a way that there can be even more deaths than that. What I see over and over and over again is the way that people in the military will take on personal responsibility for a fellow service member. I'm being general. A soldier, I'm in the Army. I'll say that, soldier's death. And I think the biggest thing that that we as chaplains offer is really reminding folks, those that are religious will talk religion with them, really, I'm a Protestant chaplain, remembering forgiveness from that lens, but really giving themselves permission to grieve and to honor the loss, and letting go of that guilt and self-blame, which can make the loss this toxic thing, almost the poison that lives in our bodies and can really take away from our ability to remember and to honor.
Absolutely.
Doug, when we remember, just quickly, you think of those young men and women that have died in service to their country. They not only stood up and served their country, they've risked their lives, they died. What died with them was their entire future.
Yeah.
They'll never be married, they'll never have kids, they'll never have grandkids, they won't enjoy the things that we're enjoying. They gave up that much for this country so that we could be free and move forward. And today's a great day to remember how much they gave up.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, mm-hmm. Thank you.
All right. I think we have to go to break.
Yeah, we do.
We'll be back. This special Memorial Day broadcast, the Minnesota Military Radio, is brought to you in part by the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and Federal Premium Ammunition. You can find more information at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.
This special Memorial Day broadcast of Minnesota Military Radio is brought to you in part by the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and Federal Premium Ammunition. My name is Doug Wortham, and in the studio with me, our founding host, Tom Lyons, and we've got a special guest in the studio with us, too, Chaplain Tim Ussett. And Chaplain, as we're getting ready to go into break, you know, obviously we're talking about, you know, how we honor those who have served. And you had mentioned something during the break, just kind of an interesting observation that you've had as it relates to Memorial Day. I thought maybe you'd want to share that with us.
Yeah, thank you. I was reflecting on, we of course have the larger ceremonies that take place at our national cemeteries at places such as Fort Snelling or state veteran cemeteries, but it's really so much of a Memorial Day is in small towns and small communities around the country where local groups of people will get together, led by local veterans organizations, to honor and remember those that have died in service of our country. And it's such a almost universal thing that happens all over in such small ways and small places, and it's really beautiful to see.
Yes, and so speaking of that, you know, throughout this hour, we get to bring in additional guests, and joining us on the line is the adjutant of our Minnesota DAV, Disabled American Veterans. That's Butch Whitehead. Butch, welcome here to this special edition of Minnesota Military Radio.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Butch, good to hear your voice. Thanks for getting up nice and early with us and spending a little bit of time with us. And I think I'll just let you kind of open up and maybe tell us how you're planning on spending, or how do you honor Memorial Day?
Well, yeah, thanks, guys. As a chaplain just kind of said, that's kind of what my Memorial Day looks like. You know, going to these cemeteries and going to these places where our brother and sister that are no longer with us, to ensure that their family also hears that their loved ones are not forgotten. And I think that's so special that our small towns, while it's great that our cemeteries, national cemeteries and state cemeteries, they do a phenomenal job at remembering our brother and sister that are buried there, but it's also those that are going closer to the loved ones back in the community. So that's what I'll be doing today. You know, I got, after today talking to you guys, I'll be getting ready and I'll be heading up to St. Cloud. We have a dedication going on up at the St. Cloud VFW that I'll be going to, and then heading over to the St. Cloud VA Medical Center. But yeah, today is all about remembering our brothers and sisters that didn't come home with us or are no longer with us.
Morning, Butch. This is Tom. This is kind of a year of anniversaries for the DAV, Vietnam, World War II.
It is. You know, these celebrations, you know, for the memories of, you know, like you were saying, the World War II, you know, the 80th anniversary of our brothers and sisters from that war. Vietnam is 50 years. And then DAV, of course, we're celebrating 100 years. But the DAV celebrating 100 years is just because of all of our, you know, sacrifices that our brother and sister made, and, you know, also the ultimate sacrifice is those that never came home with us. But, you know, the celebrations of anniversaries and all that, it's really literally about celebrating and make sure that we don't lose focus on losing the memories of our brothers and sisters.
Butch, just to follow up with that, a few years back you were national commander of the DAV and got to celebrate 100 years of the National Disabled American Veterans, and we came out and did a radio show out there and witnessed you laying a wreath at Arlington National Cemetery. Can you explain to us how that was? Quite a day, wasn't it?
It was. I mean, what an honor. And for those that haven't had the opportunity to go out to D.C. and go into Arlington Cemetery, I encourage anybody and everybody to go out there. Just walking on the grounds out there, and you just get a chill of just the sacrifices that have been made by so many people that are laid out there. And that day when I had the opportunity to carry that wreath across the stage there, and just, you know, I had chills. I still get chills when I talk about it today, just because of the meaning behind it. And that, you know, it wasn't about me. It's about that wreath and all those brothers and sisters that that wreath represented, and laying that in front of the tomb of unknown. And what an honor. What an honor to have the ability to make sure that, you know, they're not forgotten.
You know, Butch, I've been out there for the changing of the guard, and I know what it's like as you're watching that, and the feeling that you have. I cannot imagine what was going through your head as you've got this responsibility, because you got a lot of people looking at you, too, to be able to lay that wreath, and just an awesome opportunity and an awesome responsibility as well.
Absolutely. You know, and one thing that I, you know, as I was carrying that wreath across, and I think about the soldiers that didn't come home with me for my deployments, you know, and Doug, obviously, you know, some of my military experience about, you know, being deployed with the Red Bull Division with back in 2005 through 2007, and we lost some good people, some good friends of mine that didn't come home with us. And that day, it was really about remembering those individuals while they weren't laid there, that they, you know, out there at Arlington Cemetery, but just the meaning behind it, and be able to carry that wreath in their honor.
And how do you take care of yourself, your fellow service members, as you reflect back on that deployment? And of course, you know, we've lost people since then as well, but how do you deal with that, and how do you help those around you and those you served with?
Well, I think, you know, Doug, I think that's a great question, because the fact of we as service members, you know, one thing that we take pride in is, you know, being strong and being, you know, that's something the military teaches us. We got to be strong. We got to be, you know, bullheaded, as sometimes I say. But the number one thing I do is take care of myself. I use mental health treatment. I go to get the VA and get my care there, which includes mental health, to help me through these difficult times. Because, as you said, Doug, we never forget, and sometimes certain things can come up and trigger things, and you need some little assistance to help get through those difficult times. So I always, as what I do, and I encourage all the people I talk to, you know, don't do it by yourself. Don't try to take these things on by yourself. There's help out there. You're never alone. And I think one thing that, you know, in there in your studio today, the chaplain talks about it, I'm sure, a lot, and that is, you know, part of being who we are is also taking care of others. And one thing that I was really proud of what we did was here at the DAV this year at our 100th anniversary convention, we brought the VA Medical Center in, and we did their SAVE training, which was help educate and help train our service brothers and sisters that are still here with us today to witness those that maybe be suffering and make sure that they get the help right away. Because in the day, like you said, Doug, we've lost some of our friends even when we came home, you know, either to illness and or to suicide. And it's something that we need to continue to fight to make sure that we're taking care of everybody well, even when they come home.
Yeah, perfect. Hey, the chaplain wants to jump in and ask you a quick question here as well.
Yeah, well, I was going to agree with you that it's such a great point that we're not in this alone, and the importance of seeking help. And your comment really reminded me, for those of us that have served, those of it that might be feeling a particularly painful loss today, to call those that you've served with, to reach out and just really reconnect, and maybe cry together, maybe laugh together, but really honor their memory and remember that we aren't in this grief process alone.
Buddy check. Yeah, good buddy check. Call your buddies.
Good buddy check, absolutely. And that's something I think I'm very happy that we built. You know, we built that bond while we're serving together, but I think, you know, one thing that the military has done, and I know firsthand personally because we still do it today, and that is the buddy checks. Today, I'm sure I'll have at least four, probably 10 different phone calls with friends, and it literally is just to say hi, you know, and it's no no big reason other than just to say hi to, and, you know, like you said, the buddy check, checking in on somebody. But then as you're talking, the stories come up. You know, hey, you remember this? You remember when Sergeant Miller did this? Or you remember when Sergeant Barry did this? And, you know, just those little memories and how it continues to carry us through each and every day.
So, Chaplain, on a national basis, I was with Doug when he posted that wreath at Arlington, and I was out to Fort Snelling yesterday, and as beautiful as that is, Arlington's one of my favorite places in the world, and I don't quite understand that, but it's where we've buried our heroes and people we should remember going back to the Civil War. Arlington, how can you explain Arlington to those who have never been there?
Well, that's a great question, Tom, and I don't know if I have the answer, because in the day, like you said, all these cemeteries that I've been to, you know, Fort Snelling, I've been up to Little Falls State Cemeteries, I don't know how many, I mean, dozens and dozens of times, and they're all special places, but there's something about Arlington Cemetery. I think, you know, when you walk up there, just knowing the location and what you're overlooking. You know, when you're out there at Arlington Cemetery and you have a great view of the Washington Monument and all that stuff, and just the meaning behind all the sacrifices that these individuals did, and it's for this country. And Washington, D.C. being the capital of, you know, where all these decisions are made and where all the big leaders are, I think that alone, just that presence of what those soldiers and sailors and airmen are doing out there, they're watching over those people every single day. I think that's one way I would like to explain to people.
Doug, I want to thank you for calling in today, and hope you take great care of those buddies that call you today and need a little bit of support. Appreciate all your thoughts.
Thank you, gentlemen. You guys have a wonderful Memorial Day. Thank you for all you guys have done and continuing to make sure that people do not forget about our brothers and sisters.
Butch Whitehead from DAV of Minnesota. The special Memorial Day broadcast, the Minnesota Military Radio, is brought to you in part by the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and Federal Premium Ammunition. You can find more information at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.
Welcome back to this special Memorial Day broadcast of Minnesota Military Radio. It's brought to you in part by the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and Federal Premium Ammunition. In the studio here as my co-host is Mr. Tom Lyons, and our special in-studio guest today is Chaplain Timothy Ussett. And joining us on the phone right now is retired Lieutenant General John Jensen. Sir, good morning and welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Gentlemen, good morning. How are you today?
We are doing fantastic. It's great to have you on this morning. And I have to immediately turn the microphone over to Mr. Lyons before you and I get into some small talk stuff, because Mr. Lyons is just itching to talk to you. So, Mr. Lyons, take it away.
Doug, there's no small talk with the general at all. It's just the general. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Tom, I'm doing exceptionally well. Thank you very much. And just want to thank you and Doug again for taking time out of your Memorial Day and helping us recognize, remember, and if you will, celebrate Memorial Day.
It's our honor, sir, and this is our 15th annual Memorial Day live show, and I was telling Doug and the chaplain a while ago, I had some standing orders back when one Major General John Jensen was the adjutant general, and he said, keep a spot for me on the radio show, and it's still here. You're joined us again.
Yeah, I think actually I started appearing on this show before I was the adjutant general. I was just a lowly brigadier general, maybe even a colonel. back then, but the one that I'll always remember, Tom, is the one we did on Memorial Day of 2020, when due to COVID, we had to sneak away to a secret location, which we'll never disclose, and you and I did that show from a studio outside of your normal facility.
Was that the same time that Chaplain Buddy Wynn had to bring donuts to
him? No, that was a different year because he came in. He forgot to come in on time.
General, I was, you know, and I was a little worried today with this, you know, early 6:30 call-in time. I was a little worried about my availability this morning, but between Cindy and I and our wonderful dog, Sully, they made sure I was up.
You sound great, sir. I got a follow-up question for you. As Doug mentioned earlier, you served as director of the Army National Guard for the United States for a few years after you left as adjutant general. And I'm just wondering, on Memorial Day, after having served as director of the Army National Guard, if your feelings are expanded and maybe deeper about this day after meeting our guardsmen and women from all over the country.
Yeah, I think so, Tom. That was one of the comments I made when I became the director, was that I came from a very proud history and tradition here in Minnesota. Obviously, a longtime serving soldier of the 34th Infantry Division and that wonderful history, lineage, and tradition. But when I became the director, I was then able to become a small part of all of the traditions, all the history, and all the lineage of our great Army National Guard, which goes back to, you know, our official birthday is December of 1636. But just to add, you know, I think a special date, April 1775, we just celebrated 250 years of Lexington and Concord. Those were Massachusetts militiamen that responded on that fateful day, if you will, fired the shot heard around the world, and the American Revolution began. So, yeah, once I became the director, I was able, if you will, to really participate in the history of not just the Army Guard, but also the Army, because you spend, you know, you're so close to the headquarters department of the Army. And spent part of my service there in the Pentagon, that you really got a wider view of our great Army and of our great servicemen and servicewomen.
And General, all that time you spent at the Pentagon, right over the fence, so to speak, was Arlington National Cemetery. So it's you could see it every day.
Yes, you could see it every day. And my last day of service on August 5th, 2024. I had the honor and the privilege of having my family there, and we laid a wreath at the tomb of the unknown soldiers there in honor of all of our fallen. And it was a wonderful day. It was a very memorable day, and I'll always cherish that. You know, one of the last actions I did in a uniform as a service member was laying that wreath with my family.
We had Butch Whitehead on in the previous segment, and he had the opportunity to do that as well. And he just expressed on, you know, how you know, just the gravity to be able to do that, and what an honor it is to be able to lay that wreath at the tomb. And so, sir, we only obviously have a couple of minutes, and I just want to ask you this. After so many years of service, of great service to our country, obviously finishing up the last 4 years as the director, you've probably had packed Memorial Days for much of your time in uniform. And, you know, other than the last several years of getting up and joining us, which has been fantastic to have you on this radio show, I'm just wondering if, you know, you woke up this morning, you're like, you know, I don't have to put on a uniform today, but there's still something you need to do, isn't there?
Oh, yes. I think once you serve, and especially in our case, Doug, where we served and we had fellow service members who served alongside us, who were killed in service, you know, the day certainly means something completely different. And it's a solemn day. It's traditionally a very quiet day around the Jensen household on purpose. But we're gonna remember. Obviously, I've got two service members that are gonna come over and have a lunch with us today to help us honor those that we've served with. And so, yeah, Memorial Day means a lot more to you once you've worn the cloth of our nation.
Absolutely. And sir, you and I are going to get together here in a couple of weeks, and we're going to go and honor Chaplain Buddy Wynn for his in honor of his retirement, and the person coming in behind him, his name is Chaplain Timothy Ussett, and he's in the studio with us, and we're kind of talking about you know, the chaplain's role, and he's got a question he wanted to ask you about this Memorial Day as well.
Okay, yeah. I'm ready.
Sir, great to talk with you here. But I would be curious about what message would you have for us that are still in the uniform? I know you're not quite a year out from taking it off, but what perspective maybe has bubbled up for you? I don't know that life has slowed down in retirement for you, but say it has. And what would you share with all of us that are still in?
Well, I think it's important as currently serving service members that you understand that this all came from somewhere. That your service today not only honors you and your family today, but it honors the service members who came before us. And we serve really in a sense of debt to those who came before us. And so, if you will, that, you know, I always used to preach this, that, you know, our obligation is to take what we've inherited and make it better. And that, you know, we truly stand on the shoulders of those who came before us, and not to forget our obligation to serve honorably and in a way that the service members who came before us would be proud of our contribution and our sacrifice.
What a great message. So I do have to ask, because I know that our listening audience really wants to know, how is retirement treating you?
Well,
family show, General. Family show.
It's a pretty good gig if the guy can get it. That's all I'll say is, you know, obviously it's a lot slower pace now than it was when I was in D.C. or when I was in St. Paul as the adjutant general. And but it's, you know, as we all know, right, our time of service comes to an end. And, you know, what I just remind people is that the day that I left the Army National Guard, the organization didn't skip a beat. It continued to move forward and continued to accomplish the mission. And so while I'm very proud of my service and the service of my family, I also understand that I'm part of a bigger thing that's going to go on and accomplish great things. And I am just very proud to stand on the sidelines and support that, cheer that on, and remind everybody that service to one's nation, state, and community is the highest honor you could ever take on. And so those of you that have served, I just want to thank, especially Buddy Wynn, since we mentioned Buddy. You know, I was there when General Nash hired him as the state chaplain, and he was my state chaplain, and I had him come out my retirement ceremony in D.C. and provide the invocation and the benediction. I always call him my chaplain, and I'm just super proud of him. But yeah, it's you know, I had a great almost 42 years of service, and very, very proud of that. But also very proud of what the team's accomplishing now.
General, I had breakfast with Chaplain Wynn last week, and he now says, call me buddy, so we'll try to do that. But I wanted to mention that, you know, I've been out of the service for over 50 years, Vietnam veteran. Here in Minnesota, we've got a lot of organizations that you're well aware of since you were the adjutant general, that are veterans and civilians alike that spend a lot of time and energy supporting our service members and their families. And did you see that when you were a director out in Washington, D.C.? It seems like Minnesota's way ahead of the rest of the states.
Yeah. You know, and I think, you know, I think it goes back to when Larry Shelotow was the adjutant general and you know, the beginning of the Yellow Ribbon program that Minnesota started that became a national program. I think we were very attuned to ensuring that our service members, not just in the National Guard, but throughout the state, were aware of the support that was available, and we took great strides into making sure that we can communicate. The most challenging thing, I will tell you, is the ability to communicate all of the services that are available to service members and encouraging them to, I don't want to say take advantage of those services, but to use those services if needed and when needed, because there are so many here in this state, both you know, locally state programs and then our federal programs. And it can get a little overwhelming. And, you know, what I have found over the course of time is our county veteran service officers just do a great job of that. Our family assistance centers across the state do a great job of that. And I tell you, the Minnesota National Guard Chaplain Corps does a fabulous job of that. And so what I would tell all of our service members, whether you're currently serving or have left service, is that whatever your need is, there is an organization and a group of people that are out there that want to help you. And if you don't know where to start, start with your veteran service officer or organization and just ask questions. And we will get you connected to that support, because it is out there. For sure, here in Minnesota.
Sir, I really appreciate you naming all those sources of support, and I think it's a good reminder. I know that the people that I talk to that are still in, I often hear this, well, maybe it's not for me, or if I go, then someone else won't be able to make use of the service to get help, whether it's counseling, whether it's financial, whether it's medical. What might you say to folks who are just having this experience of maybe not for me, it's for those other guardsmen or other service members?
Well, I think in the military, you know, we preach selfless service, and so we have a natural inclination to put others in front of yourself. I mean, that is the heart of service. But there becomes a time where you have to take care of yourself and your family. Because I was the same way. You know, my wife would say, hey, why didn't you ask for a veteran's discount? I'd be like, well, you know, I don't feel comfortable with that. And I understand that feeling for everyone. But when it comes to your physical health, when it comes to your mental health, when it comes to your financial health, you've really got to, you know, take that step forward. And it's really not asking to receive something you haven't earned or you don't deserve, because you have earned it and you do deserve it. And, you know, having just recently retired and I've entered the VA medical program, we have a great VA hospital there in Minneapolis, a phenomenal facility. And, you know, I just use that as an example. I could select other medical care, but I don't. I go to our VA because my family and I have earned the right for that great facility and the great doctors and other medical professionals that are there. So anyway, selfless service, absolutely, but you also have to take care of yourself when it comes to physical, mental, financial health. You have to take that on.
100%. General Jensen, thanks for calling in and spending a few minutes with us here this Memorial Day. We hope that you have a wonderful day and take care of yourself and congrats again on your retirement, and we appreciate you calling in.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Doug. Thanks, Tom. Chaplain, congratulations. I know you're still transitioning from the Army Reserve into our great Army Guard, but welcome to the team. Look forward to meeting you officially and working with you. Thanks, everybody.
All right, sir. Take care. That was retired Lieutenant General John Jensen, previous director of the Army National Guard. As we wrap up hour number one here, just want to give everybody a quick tease. Next hour, we've got the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs going to be our special in-studio guest to join us as we have some conversations with the director of the Minneapolis VA healthcare system and get a call in from Mr. Tom Emmer, Representative Tom Emmer.
Chaplain, thanks for joining us this morning. This special Memorial Day broadcast, the Minnesota Military Radio, is brought to you in part by the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and Federal Premium Ammunition. You can find more information at minnesotamilitaryradio.com.